from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
He just dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Glad everybody to be in. Welcome. The guys from Talk Sports cracking me up outside. Happy to have everybody here. If you want to hop in on the show, 865-546-8200. Going to have Aaron Torres on with us today, about 1:20. And then former Vols assistant basketball coach Rob Lanier is going to join us right at about 2 o'clock. 2:03, coming back in the second hour, discuss his time in Knoxville, what he thinks about the upcoming team next year and this past season, and also, you know, diving into a little bit of Georgia State and his head coaching gig. So excited for him, excited to have him on the show, so appreciate them getting all that good stuff lined up. Today, Chance is in the house. He is over there getting things set up when it comes to the computers, and we are rolling on. First, right off the bat, congratulations to all the Smokies fans out there who got one inning of drinking in last night. We talked about that. I wanted to know the results, and they came in.
One inning before they piped them one.
Yeah, they just knocked it out. Just
piped them one right down the middle. Go ahead and give them one. Go ahead and give them one.
And it's like time. The first inning went by in like they said, like 17 minutes.
Yeah,
so, I mean that's what, like two or three beers.
I think I might have could have probably got about two, maybe three in that time. If they're going to challenge me like that, if I'm going into it, if I'd done my research, like we had people sending us the research of the
we did, that was interesting.
The box scores from the last couple of years. Last season, it was literally, I think it was like maybe one batter or something like that. They didn't even make it far at all, and then it was done. So, Smokies.
Yeah, yeah, is what it is.
Smokies baseball.
Congratulations to them.
It's a race.
Had fun last night. Other news yesterday that just it wasn't surprising one bit when Joe Oliva stepped down from LSU. Kind of figured their main target would be Scott Woodard, who's from Baton Rouge, was involved in that athletic program. He was the Texas A&M athletic director, so he's gone. So he hires Jimbo, he hires Buzz Williams, and he leaves A&M for LSU. Smart move. Great, great hires by him. So I don't know really how pissed off that Texas A&M fans can be at Woodard. He goes back home, and he leaves Texas A&M a hell of a lot better spot than when he first got there. So congratulations to him. We'll talk about that a little bit.
If you're Texas A&M, though, like, you still, I mean, fans probably still a little bit like you say, you can't be too mad, disappointed.
Hired
for sure.
Coaches.
They might feel a little mad there in College Station, but like you say, he did get him Jimbo. He locked that up, and then you get Buzz Williams
right
on the way out. So not like a Tennessee situation or the John Curry situation where you're pretty much left with nothing and paying somebody that came in and just like screwed some things up for a couple of months. At least he, you know, left him.
No. I agree. Yeah, I agree completely.
So I'm saying, yeah, left him on a high horse.
I think it was a good sign for him. So
on the pedestal.
Now A&M's out looking for an athletic director. And to be honest with you, they had this thing locked up for weeks. You don't resign and then hire somebody within 2 hours. So they've had this thing done for a while. So new athletic director for Will Wade and Coach Orgeron. I'm interested to see how that plays out now. We'll talk to Aaron about that a little bit as well. You know, in my opinion, somebody fresh coming into this thing with Will Wade, I don't think it bodes well for Will, and I don't know how much it bodes well for Orgeron. Because you know how new ADs wanted to roll.
Absolutely.
New ADs want their guys in there. You know, I don't put this in the same boat, but I tweeted out yesterday, kind of like what Malcolm Turner did at Vanderbilt. He came in, he knew exactly who he wanted to hire as his head coach. He went out and did it. He got Jerry Stackhouse. So good for him. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll talk about that more today. Talk a little bit about Tennessee football. It's that lull time, folks, so just get prepared. There's no way else to explain it. Basketball-wise, you still kind of hang on to something because you're hoping that Grant comes back. I don't think Bone's coming back, but you hope Grant comes back. There is potential. We'll see. But it's now interesting to see how Tennessee's going to go out to the grad transfer market as well. They're going to go to try and get somebody to shore it up for next season. It's questions that need to be asked. So I look forward to diving into that. Chance, how are you, buddy? Did you have a good night?
Doing great. A little work last night. Not too bad. Got to watch some playoffs.
Predators sucked.
Predators, man, they got whooped. What was that final score? Five nothing?
One.
They did finally score a goal. They got one goal. Yeah, man. So that one is what, even up now?
Yeah,
at
now
two,
they come back to Nashville. 2-2,
come back to Nashville. NBC execs, I was actually watching something earlier. They got to kind of be like with hockey. The Penguins are out, I believe, now.
Yes.
The Lightning, who had the best record, tied the best most wins in playoff history, they're out. And then if you lose somebody like the Preds, it's another big draw in the market and a big draw for fans. They're gonna be
it's
really
a rating hard. Market. They got the Islanders.
Yeah, they still got them. Yeah, still got somebody in the New York market.
Vegas is still locked in. But
Vegas does have a lot of fans. But I'm just saying, like,
right. No,
for a lot
viewership.
Of, like, viewership, they're going to be hurting a little bit. But, yeah, Preds sucked last night. Boston came back and beat Indiana. I don't know how that happened.
What's up with the Bucks played the Pistons last night, too, and the Bucks won?
Yeah.
How bad do the Pistons suck? Didn't they get beat by 40 the other night?
It was 25.
Yeah, it was at 40 at one point.
This past game was much better. But, yeah, man, we talked about that the other day. No Blake Griffin. Going to be tough for them.
I know, but still.
It's going to be tough for them.
Did the Magic lose last night?
Bucks had the best record. The Magic lost the other night. It's 2-2. So I don't think they play again until tomorrow night because they'll take a day for travel. The next game will be in Orlando.
And the Preds get what? They'll get Thursday, Friday off. Rather. So they get 2 days off.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of makes sense a little bit. Tonight, you got the – I don't really care. I mean, the only thing I care about be potentially the Warriors and Clippers because it's tied at 1-1.
Yeah.
It's a must-win. I don't know. Must-win for the Clips. That'd be an interesting NBA
game. Well, anytime you're playing the Warriors, I feel like it's a must-win just because, you know, just how great of a team they are, and they're not going to be – I mean, the Clippers – we can all say a little bit. They got a little bit lucky the other night, too, coming back from 31. 76ers and Nets, that'll be interesting. It's tied game apiece. It's in Brooklyn.
Congratulations to Man City and Tottenham yesterday for putting on one of the crazy-ass finishes. Actually, the whole darn game. First off, there were four goals in the first 20 minutes. I was with a client. And we were kind of sitting down somewhere and watching it. Four goals, first 20. Ended up, final score was 4-3. This is soccer I'm talking about, Chance.
I know. I'm a Man U fan.
Oh, okay.
It's not like you're talking NASCAR or wrestling over there. I mean, I actually get down with Premier League,
NASCAR today, sorry.
Soccer, MLS. I can go all rounds on that.
So that played out, and then Tottenham got to advance because they had the 4-3 aggregate over Man City. So I was like, wow, this is bonkers. And then at the end, Man City has scored a goal, but then VFR turned it around at the end when I thought it was a clear goal. And then it didn't happen, and then all of a sudden you've got Tottenham moving on to the next round, and Man City's screwed. I was like, what is this? What's going on? That was so wacky. So congratulations to them and all the crazy-ass fans. Thought that was fun. I should just sit here and talk Mueller Report for 2 hours today and see how many people I could piss off. Like I should. I should just talk Mueller Report And then the first person that calls in that doesn't want to hear about the Mueller report, then I'll stop talking about it. I should just do that. Your mic's not on.
Oh, sorry. You going to do what?
The Mueller report.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Just see how many people I can piss off.
Why would you do that?
Is there really much left in it?
See, he's intrigued.
No, he's not.
No, what I'm saying is
yes, there was a lot in it.
No, there's not. It's a non-story.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Check out this. Oh, about read that live on air. That wouldn't have been good. Thanks,
okay, Ron Burgundy. I was about to say, okay, Ron Burgundy. Brandon beat me to it.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
So Brandon, good to have you in. How are you, buddy? Did you have a good night?
I did. How was your all snow?
I was all sorry. It sucked.
Whoa. Like,
well, that's no good.
You didn't say all that before Brandon got here. What happened?
Yeah.
I was watching some how-to videos on editing and stuff last night. Okay. But then I had Free Solo on in the background, the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I got through an hour and a half of the damn movie. And then all of a sudden, it froze up. Right before he was about to climb.
That's what happens when you're illegally streaming.
I wasn't illegally streaming. I had it on Hulu.
Oh, okay. So your internet went down?
Yeah, froze up. Right when he was taking his first steps to climb solo. And I was like, no, wait a minute. And I tried to get it connected back up. It wouldn't connect. And I was like, what the hell? So then I went to the illegal site and then I watched the rest of it. That's how you roll.
Interesting.
Great movie, by the way.
Solo, the Star Wars.
No, I'm not watching damn Star Wars. Free Solo, the guy,
I know, Alex, whatever his name. I was making a joke.
Star Wars.
You don't like Star Wars. No, you're a hater. Everybody knows.
I'm not a hater.
You like movies like Newsies.
No, I'm not. No, your movie. Your movie genre.
No, your movies, sir.
The way that
your
I look
movies.
At it. Just because I said Newsies one time.
Would you rather watch Newsies
or Star Wars?
Yes. That is the
question.
I don't know.
I'm not watching the 70s Star Wars.
It's obviously Newsies.
Those are the best ones.
I don't care.
I would say those are some of the better ones.
Those are like three of the best films in cinematic history.
Okay. Also, is there a more confusing movie out there? And I know I'm getting on this right before Torres comes
out. What movie?
No, Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway. Matt Damon and Casey Affleck.
Not going to lie, didn't see it.
And that other chick from Molly's Game, the great actress. No, that great actress from Zero's
Dark
Thirty.
That great actress.
Jessica Chastain.
Okay.
The most confusing movie. Christopher Nolan just had to confuse me. I had no idea what was going on the whole time. Somehow Matt Damon, wearing the same outfit that he wore in The Martian, makes an appearance in Interstellar.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here like, wait a minute. What is going on here?
You're a big Matt Damon fan, ain't you?
Yeah.
He's pretty good in Rounders.
He was good in a lot of things. He was good in Green Zone.
The Bourne films.
Well, that's an easy one. But Green Zone he was good in.
Green Zone? Yeah. Never seen it.
Army, CIA.
Okay.
Trying to find WMDs.
Still never seen that one.
It was a good movie. What other Matt Damon movies? I don't know. Downsizing.
Goodwill Hunting.
Well, I'm talking about the non-givens.
All the Bournes. Like I said, that's all I care about is the Bournes and probably Rounders. Those are my favorite films. I guess he's in...
The Martian was really good. Some people didn't like it because it was kind of
I hadn't seen The Martian either.
What are you doing with your time? What are you watching?
Obviously, we'll look at your movies, The Martian, later.
No, what the hell are you watching?
We'll see the ratings later.
Okay, well, just a little confusing.
Probably, you know, over the years,
I'm getting bashed.
I try to get like one movie in a month, but I used to watch probably like two a week. But over the years, since Netflix and everything else, like I ain't got time to I binge watch series and stuff like that. So I haven't had time for a lot of movies. To be honest,
I'm still
with
a part of the cinematic fan. You know.
Yeah,
I watched this movie Columbus a couple weeks ago. And it's just a movie about architecture in Columbus, Indiana. But it was like a movie, like John Cho from Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar Go to White
Castle. Yeah, yeah. It was a decent movie, but it just tried to trip me. So I don't know how I got into that. But I love sports documentaries. I was going through last night. I was looking at the ESPN Plus, how many all the 30 for 30s are uploaded in there. Yep. There's a bunch of them I want to go back and watch.
Oh, yeah.
Like Pony Express, the Marcus Dupree one, the U. And then the
U part two is the better one, though.
And then the one about Tommy Morrison. You know, that was a good one.
You're always talking Tommy Morrison.
Well, that was a good one. That 30 for 30 was pretty good.
It was all right.
The Bobby Knight one, though, the final days of night, or the last days of night, whatever you want to call it, that was good. But I think, I want to say, from a fan's perspective and how they did a documentary, one of my two favorites are the Steve Bartman documentary, 30 for 30, Chicago Cubs fan, and then 4 days in October with the Boston Red Sox.
That's so are you a Red Sox fan or are you a Cubs fan? Because I thought you were a Red Sox fan.
No, I look after the Red Sox just because my brother lives there.
Okay, got you.
I'm not really a baseball. I'm not going to watch 9 innings of baseball, of Major League Baseball.
Hater.
No, I'm not a hater. I'm just being real. I can't watch 9 innings. I can start off in the first, come back in the fifth, and then I'll catch up with you in the bottom of the eighth or something like that if it's a game. I can't watch 9 innings of baseball on TV. If I was there in person, it'd be a different story. I don't know. Y'all get on my ass about stuff that I watch.
Nobody's getting on you.
Get out of here and go to break. Aaron Torres coming up next.
Ready to talk to Aaron.
Knoxville.
Ready to talk to Aaron.
This crap you're talking about. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along here.
Every time I hear that song, you know, I think of the Vegas TV show.
No, you think of Ocean's 11.
No, me, personally. Oh, that's what I think of.
Oh, with Michael Caine?
Yeah.
And Josh Duhamel?
That was
Josh Duhamel. It's a pretty badass series.
That was their intro, their theme.
Yeah, it's true. Torres be on here in a minute. That was actually a pretty decent.
Wasn't a bad show. Didn't last too many seasons.
It was on TNT.
Was on TNT.
I remember that pretty well.
Not sure if it was on big network television.
No, it never got to the big network television.
That's probably why it didn't last long. It's about like 4 or 5 seasons. I guess that's pretty good.
The SEC and the American Conference create Men's Basketball Scheduling Alliance. So you know how the Big 12 and the SEC have that deal?
Yeah.
So it looks like the 4 teams that aren't in the SEC Big 12 Challenge will participate in a home-and-home series with the American Conference.
Nice.
So, there's Tennessee will always be in the Big 12 Challenge, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be interesting to see now how they schedule out when it comes to the American
Athletic Conference.
Yeah, and how that would and which
what
teams would,
is that Memphis?
Would be involved. Yeah. So it's Memphis, UConn, UCF. I don't know who.
That's all the ones.
USF
that
is in it. Houston's in it.
In basketball.
Yeah, in basketball. It's not football.
Yeah.
Well, I just wondered. Just wanted to make sure. So that we'll see. That part would be interesting. Some other interesting news. We're gonna have men's assistant basketball coach for Tennessee, Kim English, on. Probably Monday. I think it's going to be Monday. We're going to have new assistant coach Kim English join the show.
That'll be fun.
On Monday. Looking forward to that.
Talk to him what he's got in mind for the guards. I feel like he's going to be really developing our guards since he was a point guard himself. He shot the 3-ball very well, too, in his career.
I'm telling you, he was fun to watch. And I think a lot of people should remember him.
And then especially all the recruiting grounds that he can cover now. Talking about Detroit, Baltimore, Missouri.
And another tidbit out of Vol basketball news, Desmond Oliver did not get the Kennesaw State job.
Dez.
So Desmond will end up staying at Tennessee for now.
Does that make him lead assistant? Or is that Schwartz?
I don't know how that would play that out.
I think I feel like it'd be Dez.
I think it'd be Dez, Schwartz, Kim.
Yeah. Not that they really probably are looking at a hierarchy at themselves or maybe Barnes, but
agreed.
Like, you got to think. I mean, Rob Lanier was head assistant.
Kim's not going to make, $600,000.
Exactly. So I'm thinking that it would be, Dez. Dez Oliver.
But this is a job that Kim Ingles could have for the, for Barnes' rest of Barnes' tenure at Tennessee, possibly.
Absolutely.
5, 6 years. Because Desmond Oliver maybe turned into a good coach.
Getting looked at for Kennesaw State, there's going to be other jobs that are going to pop up. Eventually, he's going to leave.
Yeah, it got down to him and Georgia assistant basketball coach.
It's obvious that he must have the knack to be he must have the appetite to want to be a head coach. So,
yeah, we're good. You can call back Aaron now, buddy. Some back behind the scenes thing, Brandon. So you're good. If you're not dead over there, Brandon Johns. Yeah, that's lovely.
I called him four times.
Yeah, you're good now. So getting back into it, he'll be joining us here in just a second. He just texted me. He's been a busy man. He went to the Nike Summit last week up in Portland and got to attend and watch a lot of high school basketball players, which was very interesting, especially the feedback they're getting out of that. And then all the graduate transfers now that are flooding the college basketball market. Kentucky just picked up a transfer
from portal.
Bucknell. No Tennessee players are currently in the transfer portal as of now when it comes to basketball. I checked yesterday. Let me rephrase that.
Source, everybody's good.
Source checked yesterday.
No Jalen Johnson transferring. No Darren Walker.
Nothing. Nothing as of now. Even football. There's nobody else rolling on with football right now and jumped in. Let's go to the phone lines now. Our man from Fox Sports Radio, The Athletic, KSR, anywhere and everywhere. He's been traveling everywhere, and he's been busy. Hope he got his taxes done. Aaron Torres joins us. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Trey? How you doing, man? How we doing today?
Man, I'm good. It is what it is. You have to move on and all the
crazy. What are you going to talk about for like the next 4 months, man?
Dude, trust me. I can come up with – you know what? To be honest with you, I was going to see how many people I could piss off today, and I was just going to come on here and talk straight Mueller report for 2 hours and just read it and just see how many people I could piss off.
Just the whole report, huh? No opinion, no conjecture. Just read the report verbatim.
Read it. Go really weird and wild on sports radio.
Glad you're not doing that.
Well, who says I won't do that in the second hour? I'm just letting you know. I mean, you know what I mean? It might as well. They're going to be like, wait a minute, what is this sports talk host doing? And I'm like, I'm reading the damn Mueller report, son. Step back.
There you go.
I mean, you've been busy, dude. Well, how was the Nike Summit, bro?
It was good, man. It was good. I mean, obviously, I know that Tennessee has some, you know, really highly rated recruits. Unfortunately, none of them were there. But it was a good event. I mean, for people who don't know, it's kind of the best high school players in America versus the best high school players from across the world. But, you know, across the world has a little bit of a caveat because so many international players now play high school basketball.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a kid, Josh Green, who's going to Arizona. He's originally from Australia, but, you know, he's been in the States for 5 or 6 years. Like, you know, he's international, but he's really not. It was a great event. I think what it opened my eyes to is, I think as it pertains to kind of Tennessee and just life in general, I think this is a pretty bad high school class that's coming into college basketball next year. I think it is going to be a weak NBA draft class because of it. Obviously, I know James Wiseman, a guy of local interest to you guys, maybe as the opponent, is one of the top-rated prospects. But I bring this up because I do wonder, and I have been surprised, like Kentucky had two guys who I think are closer to fringe first-round picks than lock first-round picks decide to stay in the draft. And I do wonder, as it pertains to a guy like Grant Williams, maybe Jordan Bone, maybe they both have the foresight to look ahead and say, hey, you know, if I can stick around for one more year, there's a place for me to move up in this draft. I know it's more likely with Grant Williams than Jordan Bone, but I do still find it an interesting, fun event. But I think the high school crop overall is kind of down next year.
Hey, man, what's that like up there? And I know you kind of broke it down a little, but what's it like? What goes into the summit? For folks that really don't know what's going on, is it like, I'm trying to narrate this for the audience, like a combine for these high school athletes with a bunch of pickup games? I mean, explain it a little bit and all the coaches that are there. I mean, this is a big-time event.
Yeah, it's one of the few, you know, the NBA kind of allows, the first time that NBA, scouts in the past, this has changed a little bit over the last year with kind of the push that may eventually end the one-and-done rule. In the past, the only place that NBA scouts can really evaluate high school players is at the McDonald's All-American game, at the Nike Hoop Summit, maybe one or two other All-Star games over the course of the season. So it actually does hold a great importance and a great value to both the players and organizations. And kind of to go back to what I said a minute ago, I do think like one of my takeaways was I do think the players kind of realized how important this event was. I'll give you an example. I've seen James Wiseman, who's headed to Memphis, play maybe 7 or 8 times over the course of his high school career. I don't claim to be a recruiting guru, but, you know, he comes through L.A., right. You know, different places, all that stuff. And in full disclosure, I've been mostly underwhelmed by him. I mean, all the physical tools are there, but every time that I've seen him, you know, I never got the sense that he was playing that hard, that he really wanted to be out there. And maybe he was just bored by the level of competition, I don't know. But I bring that up because as I watched last week, there was definitely an extra pep in his step. He was playing as hard as I've ever seen him play. And so the reason I bring it up is because I don't know if it's the presence of the scouts. I don't know, you know, if it has to do with the possibility that he's just maturing as a kid and he's realizing that I can't take plays off. I don't know if it's because the competition level was better. But whatever it was, I saw the best out of him. So it is an interesting kind of event because the NBA scouts are there, so the kids play hard. And obviously, like you said, there's a lot of kind of combine testing as well, height, weight, measurements, all that kind of stuff. And then obviously a lot of scrimmaging behind the scenes and stuff like that. But it's a fun event. You know, if you're in the media, you know, if Tennessee ever has a guy up there, I would recommend you guys getting up there because it really is mostly the most of the best high school players anywhere. And you really do get some pretty good access to them.
Hey, what a lot of people have seen this Portsmouth League that's going on in these different Nike leagues they put on or Adidas leagues that they put on for summer or kind of for a short term. Would you best sum that up as a maybe like a summer ball for baseball?
Well, Portsmouth is it's a draft, you know, evaluation tool.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
It's you know, it's a place where a lot of guys that aren't going to go to the combine, I think it's really seniors only that get invited.
Okay.
You know, the different stuff, I mean, there are different Nike and Adidas events, and those two have kind of been scaled back because of the FBI investigation and because of all that stuff. Everything's a little bit different. You know, there's the standard kind of AAU season, which starts next weekend. And then Nike does have kind of special one-off event. They used to have what's called the Nike Skills Academy, which is out in Los Angeles. Adidas used to have the Adidas Nations, I think it was, was kind of similar, bring the best players around in the world. So they're all very similar. And, yeah, it is a little bit of a summer ball deal. I mean, what it really is, honestly, Trey, is it's a way for Nike to show off, hey, we're freaking Nike. When you're 16 years old, we're going to treat you like a star. And then maybe when you're 19 or 20 and go to the NBA, you know, you'll sign with us. And so, you know, they fly all the kids out. They put them in nice hotels. And then what they generally do is they have some of the bigger names that are part of the Nike family kind of come out and scrimmage with the guys. So, I mean, I remember being there the year that Ben Simmons was in college. It was the year before he started at LSU. He was there. All the top high school players are there, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Miles Bridges, et cetera. And then, oh, you know, just by coincidence, LeBron happens to walk in the gym or Kyrie happens to walk into the gym. Or at the time, James Harden was a Nike guy before he went to Adidas. And he just happens to stroll into the gym at that particular day. So they're all kind of different events. This one that I most recently went to is more of a high school event. But overall, good stuff. And like I said, it's kind of a good glimpse into what college basketball could look like next year.
Aaron, Rick Barnes, UCLA, you live out there. You've seen what Guerrero's done with the athletic department at UCLA. Your summation of everything that's gone on over the last week between UCLA, the Rick Barnes press conference, his comments this past week, you know, the flirtation, them not being able to get a buyout, and then somehow they end up with Cronin. I mean, what the hell's going on out there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Trey. And, I mean, I think it speaks to, like, you know, I don't know what kind of AD goes into a coaching search not realizing that anybody that's a sitting head coach is going to have a buyout.
Yeah.
Like, and seriously, like, and maybe they got spoiled because they got Chip Kelly when he was between jobs for football in the NFL and there was no real contract to work through. But, yeah, like, this is part of the deal. And I think as, you know, as college athletics has become such a big brand and such a big thing. Like, I think this is part of how college sports work now, is you get a good coach, you're going to pay him well, but you're also going to give him an insane buyout so that he can't just get up and leave for the next job. Now, sometimes it backfires on a school, like when Texas A&M has to pay Kevin Sumlin $12 million or whatever it was to go away. UCLA had to pay Jim Moore $9 or $10 million. Arkansas had to pay Brett Bielema $8, $9, $10 million. But this is pretty standard par for the courses. If you want a good coach, you're going to have to pay a pretty big buyout. And so I was amazed that UCLA allowed their flirtations with guys like Jamie Dixon and Rick Barnes to be so public. And by the way, I talked about it on my podcast, which is going to come out in a little bit here, is I give Rick Barnes credit for being honest. I mean, he could have sugarcoated it. He could have lied.
Yeah, what was
for him to kind of...
Yeah.
Do you think? What's been the buzz about that?
I think half of the people are agitated, and the other half are like, damn, okay, this guy was honest with us. That's why I wanted to get your opinion on just his candor, his comments, because we don't hear that a lot from coaches nowadays, man.
No, we don't. And, you know, look, I think Rick Barnes is living the high life right now. You know, two of the most successful back-to-back seasons in Tennessee history. You know, I wonder how it would have played if it wasn't UCLA, but another school came after him after the team went, you know, 20-21-11 and lost in the first round of the tournament. Like, one, does Rick Barnes, is he so candid? But two, does it play a little bit differently? I mean, I think, like, right now, Rick Barnes was brutally honest, and I think most people would sit there and say, well, he had a really successful season. Of course he is going to be pursued by other schools. But yeah, like, I think he's only getting away with it because, one, I mean, he's such a likable guy, but two, because of the fact that, like, the team was really good last year. And, like, that's the thing to me. You know, I have a buddy that does my podcast with me sometimes, almost a pseudo co-host, and he was like, yeah, I bet Tennessee fans are really mad, or Tennessee fans are going to hold it against him going forward. I said, look, if Tennessee is, you know, 14-1 entering SEC play next year and ranked in the top 10, nobody's going to care. But if they're 9-7, and they could be, by the way, depending on who they lose, if they're 9-7 and they're looking like a bottom of the half SEC team, people are gonna say, oh, well, it's because he wasn't focused during the off season and blah blah blah. So I don't know, and it's interesting to hear you say that about half people are kind of laugh it off and half people are mad. I'm just curious the ripple effect that it has down the road, because I do think if Tennessee loses some of these guys to the NBA, in addition to Admiral Schofield, obviously as a senior, and the team isn't good, I do wonder if the reaction is going to be next, December or January, like, oh, you know, this guy wanted to leave, we should have kicked him out when we could have. It'll just be interesting to see. Like I said, I think if he wins big, it all is laughed off. If he struggles, I think there's a lot of Tennessee fans that are going to be frustrated with him, and I understand them from that perspective.
Yeah, Aaron, I would agree with Trey and with you. Like, it has been, like, most of the reaction has been kind of halfway, but like what you said, if he wins, and we talked about it, really hit home on it whenever, like, after the press conference, that he just put a lot of pressure on himself. And so people around here, the small minority that are like the Rick Barnes bashers and the Negavals, as we call them, they're already been calling him regular season Rick, and that he can't get it done in the postseason.
Wow.
So yeah, that happens a lot. So my thing is that if he doesn't, if he gets ousted before the Sweet 16, or if you only get another Sweet 16 run out of a great team like you had this year, then he's going to face a lot of pressure, and that's when you, because, man, you can look back to the football stuff with Dan Wolken. Like, Tennessee fans, they may let stuff go, but they don't forget. They'll be back to remind you that, hey, you said you wanted to go, had the buyout worked. But quickly on the UCLA stuff before we let you get out of here, is Mick Cronin going to be enough for them? Because if I'm not mistaken, he's gotten out of, like, the first round one time, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is that just enough? Do they just want to get to tournaments, or are they going to expect more for him? Because he's pretty much just an average coach.
Well, I'll say this. Steve Alford, who I've been kind of critical of over the last week, because I don't think he was the right fit for his new coaching job in Nevada, you know, that guy made 3 Sweet 16s in 6 years at UCLA, and he got fired. To your point, Chance, Mick Cronin has made 1 Sweet 16, and that was in 2012. Which is like a lifetime ago in sports terms. So, you know, I don't know. I've kind of come around to it. I think Mick Cronin is going to be a little bit better than I thought he would be kind of at initial first glance. The big thing, guys, is, and we've seen this at other schools, the guys seem to be bought into what he's selling. And I think the big thing with UCLA, the talent's always been there. They've had, you know, the whole team is basically going to be sophomores and juniors next year, which means that they were freshmen and sophomores last year. And UCLA had back-to-back top 10 classes. The only schools that have recruited better over the last 2 years besides this year right now, the last two recruiting cycles, 2017 and 2018, the only two schools that have recruited better than UCLA are Kentucky and Duke. And obviously the wins on the floor haven't been reflected in that. But what I thought was a great sign was, since he's come, you don't hear about any players transferring. You don't hear about any players that really have no real NBA draft hopes declaring for the draft. It seems like most of the guys kind of have bought into whatever it is that he's selling. So I think two out of the three spots on his staff are already filled. I do think coming from the Midwest, he's going to have to get somebody with West Coast ties that understands recruiting the West Coast, no different than any other region of the country when you come from a new place. But I actually think he could be okay. I mean, I think the big thing for him, almost like when Rick Barnes got to Tennessee, I think he's got to recruit guys that fit his culture and fit his system. I think Steve Alford, the biggest mistake that he made was recruiting off a recruiting list rather than in recruiting off recruiting rankings, rather than going with guys that kind of fit what he wanted to do. So I think it'll be an interesting fit. I don't think that I necessarily hate it as much as I thought I did the day that the hire was announced.
Last question, buddy. Yesterday we saw the craziness with LSU. And that Will Wade's reinstated. Okay, so Joe Oliva comes out, makes a statement. Then what? 2 days later, Joe Oliva is no longer the athletic director at LSU. Scott Woodard's in. What the hell is going on in Baton Rouge, bud?
First of all, Trey, it was 3 days.
I'm sorry, three days. Okay, good.
Give those guys down in Baton Rouge. No, listen, I'll be honest. I'm actually going on in Baton Rouge here in a little bit. I don't have a good answer to it, Trey. And I'll be honest, I've been off the grid the last 3 or 4 days since, whatever. And I was really surprised by this. I was surprised at how fast it came together. And I think my big question, which I will ask the guys in Baton Rouge, my question is yours, Trey, is if you knew you were getting rid of Joe Oliva, why did you reinstate Will Wade? And by the way, I've been probably one of Will Wade's bigger supporters. I don't think that he's a great human being that's abiding by every rule in the NCAA rule book. But I also think that based on what we know, there was really, I don't believe, grounds to suspend him. But if you're going to suspend him, keep him suspended. And if you're going to unsuspend him, you should probably just wait till the new AD comes, like, tomorrow, rather than doing it on Sunday. So it is very confusing. I think it's the perfect bow, on the Joe Oliva era. I mean, you guys know because everybody's football crazy down there. But, look, once this guy was ready to fire Les Miles, and then, they were working on the buyout during the third quarter of LSU's last game of the season.
Yep.
He ends up winning the game. The players carry him off, and somehow that leads to LSU giving Les Miles another year. But it wasn't really a year. It was only 3 games until they fired him into the next season. I think once that happened, I don't think there was any real forgiving him. But after this whole situation with Will Wade, it was obviously toxic there. And by the way, they got a great AD in Scott Woodward, who I think is actually, I think he's going to be really good there. But I would just say is that it is a very confusing timeline that, to be completely honest, Trey, I just haven't really wrapped my head around. I can't quite figure out why everything has happened in the order that it did. But I'm sure somebody at LSU is going to have some explaining to do, because we're going to get a press conference here pretty soon.
I mean, look, to be honest with you, man, I know you got to go. To be honest with you, Joe Oliva steps down. I imagine this thing has been in the works for about a month with Scott Woodard from Texas A&M. And then and Joe's like, okay, you know what? As my departing present, I'm not going to leave it up to you to have to decide if Will Wade can come back or not. I'll go ahead and reinstate him. You can deal with it when you get here. You can't tell me this crap happened in a week or even 3 days or even, you know what I mean? So it kind of feels like this has been a setup for about a month, and now it leaves Woodard with the opportunity, okay, I can either let him go, I can figure out which way to handle this thing after the trial, or we can keep him. I mean, it was just the timing's so weird, brother.
It is, and you know, my only question was, is that by my understanding, the president signed off on Will Wade's reinstatement. So
yeah.
Why is the president signing off on it if you're going to fire this guy, or what's the proper term? They
terminate the contract
him to another position. Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't get it, Trey. I really truly don't. I find this whole deal fascinating. Like I said, I'm going on a Baton Rouge here in a little bit, and maybe I'll get a better answer for you.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, it's 1:20 or 1:30 Eastern time on Thursday, and I am as in the dark and clueless on this one as you are, to be perfectly honest.
My man, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I look forward to having you on this summer. We're going to talk college football. We'll get ramped up with basketball here in a couple months. A couple Tennessee players have some decisions to make when it comes to draft time. So, man, it's always fun, buddy. Tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic podcast. I'm sure the new one will be up here soon. Tell everybody where they can go.
Yeah, best place is just follow me on Twitter at Aaron_Torres. Still doing the podcast, probably talk NBA draft stuff. And yeah, that's it. Do my radio show on Fox Sports Knoxville. Just keep this station tuned in.
Yep.
You can turn it off when Russ comes on, because that guy's a lunatic, but then tune it back on Friday night so you can hear me on Saturday. But yeah, we're coworkers, man, so I'm on Saturday nights, and I always love coming on with you guys, and thank you for everything.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I usually listen to you from like 11 to 1 o'clock here locally. Like, I'll just turn
That's
the app. I literally turn the app on my phone, and it's you, and it's, who is it, Artie Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Artie Spanier.
Artie Spanier, yeah.
We do actually do a pretty good show. Like, I've had a lot of people
really
comment.
Good.
So Arnie is apparently, he's a radio legend. He's like Russell Smith's idol in this industry, because one time Russ said to me on air, he's like, "Oh my God, you work with Arnie Spanier?" And I'm like, yeah. But Arnie's an older guy, and you know, he's definitely got the ability to get under people's skin, including my own sometimes. But you know, I think the vibe of our show is very much, you know, young guy arguing with his crazy old grandpa at the dinner table. But it's fun. We laugh. The guy makes me laugh. I think I make him laugh sometimes. And it is a pretty good show.
You do a fantastic job, man. I love listening to it. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week, man. And I look forward to doing this thing next week.
All right, my man. Thank you, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great day. Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio, KSR, The Athletic, everywhere. Let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side.
Welcome back to It's Optional, right here on Fan Run Radio, AM 1340, FM 105.7, as always on the Fan Run Radio app. A big thank you to Aaron Torres of the Aaron Torres Podcast, The Athletic, also KSR, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. You see him everywhere, as Trey said. Really good stuff. We'll have that up shortly. Hour one of the podcast will be up for your downloading pleasure. Get that up quickly for you. Always good to have him on.
Unable to conclude that no criminal contact occurred.
Oh, you're back on the Miller report again.
No, I'm just messing with you guys a little
Stick
bit.
To sports, guy. I'll oh, be God. Stick to sports,
I
guy.
I hate that so much. That pisses me off so much sometimes.
Stick to sports,
it's guy. Like, because there's so many jokes out there that I want to lay down.
A lot of jokes.
And that I can't, because then a lot of people are going to get pissed off, and it's like.
You really wanted to come in here and just.
No, I didn't.
And just piss off all the listeners today, huh?
No, I'm just.
It's what I'm taking away from
it. I'm a political guy, too. I love politics.
Really?
Yeah. I was the guy that did the Model UN back in the day in high school.
Mm.
You don't even know what the hell that is, do you?
Okay, always. Diminishing my intelligence.
No, I'm not. You just said, oh, okay. No, you said, no, you said,
he does
oh,
that okay. stuff, doesn't he?
No, you said, oh, okay. I didn't know if you know what the hell that was.
I was just like, oh, okay. You're the making Model UN guy over here.
No, I didn't know what they did it up here.
If they do it in Mobile, Alabama, by God, they're doing it in damn Tennessee.
It was like a Gulf Coast Southeast type deal. I got stuck with some country I can't even remember.
Yeah, I
need you to draw up this agreement. Well, I don't know what the hell I'm drawing up.
I don't want to talk about the Miller Report. I actually have a minor in political science, Trey Wallace. So, yeah, I can talk politics. I'm just choosing not to.
T-Cart just tweeted, what's your political affiliation? You are damn crazy.
You're going to fall for the bait?
If you think I'm going to give you my political affiliation on radio.
You just told him.
Or Twitter. No, I didn't.
I don't know. I feel like that he's going to say, well, you just told me.
T-Cart, he's not even admitted that he's an Auburn fan yet. He sure is not going to tell you.
Right. I'm an Auburn fan.
Which side of the fence
he's on. We're still waiting on
that. Right. I'm not even Alabama.
We're still waiting on that one.
Right. I mean, I had.
Have you read all of the Miller report?
No. 400 pages.
I will tonight. Try like super reader. Skimming through it.
I will tonight.
The entire report,
probably. Oh, boy. For the next 2 days,
400 pages.
You're gonna see the highlights.
I almost want to read that to quiz you on that because I'm calling bull bleep.
Dude, I'm telling you, I will.
I'll come up with the quiz. We'll have a 10-question.
I just wish there was some sports stuff in there.
Maybe he
did something wrong to like a sports team.
Speaking of reports,
what's out there? Oh gosh.
Robert Kraft, they were about to release his video, but I think they're not now.
It's a cheap shot.
I don't think they're not.
All they're doing is trying to embarrass him.
Well, no, they're trying to get it out before it's blocked.
They're trying to embarrass him because this investigation went from first saying, oh, we think they're victims of sex trafficking, to now, oh, well, we're not even real sure we could get him on solicitation charges, so we're just trying to embarrass him.
XFL news. Everybody loves Jeff Fisher, right?
50-50. Mr. 50-50.
Jason Lockenfora. Whatever.
50-50.
Hearing Jeff Fisher is in line to coach the Houston team of the XFL.
Jeff Fisher back in football.
Back to Houston.
Will they be the Oilers?
I kind of want Jeff Fisher back just so all the Jeff Fisher punchline jokes, I can bring those back out of the woodwork. Bring him back to the surface.
It'd be fun to see him back on
bring
the
all those
line.
Back.
But if they don't have
full circle.
If they don't have a 16-game schedule, it might have to be like May 5th might have to be Jeff Fisher Day.
No, they're going to be very smart, I think. Vince McMahon's
going
to be pretty darn smart.
I ain't going no stinking 7-9. Yeah. No bleeping 8-8.
Which he was right.
They went
3-13.
They went 3-13. They did not go 8-8.
I think that.
And then that same team with a couple added players 2 years later goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then Nick Foles, who you cut,
wins a Super Bowl.
Case Keenum.
50-50.
goes to
50-50.
The
greatest coach ever. Greatest coach ever, Jeff Fisher.
I think it would be fun to have him back. I mean, you look, Bob
For the
Stoops.
Jokes.
Bob Stoops and then Jeff Fisher in the same league. I mean, think about
Bob Stoops is going to win that matchup.
Big game Bob.
Yeah.
Only if it's not in the playoffs.
Jeff Fisher doesn't even have a nickname, all this besides 50-50, which you don't want. Big game Bob. Yeah, big game Bob's going to wax him.
You think so?
Jeff Fisher's going to wind up fighting Vince McMahon. This type of coach he'll be.
I will watch the
XFL. When this XFL really flies off the
rails.
Because
I have a feeling this XFL is going to be very interesting.
It's going to flop.
I don't know, man. I think it'd be a lot of fun, to be honest with you. Hey, guess what's coming up next?
What up?
Coach Rob Lanier.
Coach Rob Lanier
is going to join us. Former Tennessee Vols assistant basketball coach under Rick Barnes. He just took the Georgia State head coaching job.
Georgia.
He's going to join us next. It's time to talk some Georgia State men's basketball, talk some Vol hoops. We'll do it coming up right at the 2 o'clock hour. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Wanna make you mine.